The Holy Gospel comes from the fourth chapter of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So in this reading today, the thing that really struck me was the part where it said Jesus made his home in Capernaum, in this place. And I like that image of making a home. And it made me think. I had a conversation last night with a friend of mine. We were talking about, I asked him, and I'll ask you, what does it mean to settle in to something? And I gave you an example of, for me, the first thing I thought of, think of, is a movie. You know, you get your popcorn, you get your giant soda of Pepsi, hopefully, or a Coke product. And you sit in that comfortable chair, and you just get all nice and comfortable. And of course, the popcorn's buttered. That's how I prefer it anyway. A little salt. And then you just sit there. And you wait for the previews, and you watch it. Hopefully 10 previews. I love it when there's 10. I'm disappointed when there's only 5. And you eat that popcorn, and that just, you just, that is settling in. But what does settling in mean to you? Think about that. When you think about settling in to something, whether it's short-term or long-term, what do you think of? Raise your hand if you have a thought. Settling in. What's that look like for you? So you've moved somewhere, and then you've got those boxes, and you unpack the kitchen, and you can finally start making it your own, start cooking your own food, making it your own space. Others, yes?
My dad finally bought a home when I was 16 years old, and it was our permanent home.
So it's a home. It's solid, centering. It's a place that you can go to again and again, and you know what it's about. Yeah. Other images of settling in. Earlier. Just present with the garden. There's always a gardener in the crowd. And that's all right, because we have a wonderful garden. So that's a good thing. Right, so it's a space, and that's outdoors, right? And so that sense of being one with creation, right? Other images. Anybody else have a settling in image that strikes you? Yeah.
The first day you get mail, and that's
the rest. Oh, you opened up the mailbox. I remember that when we moved here. Opening up the mailbox. Boom, there it is. Yep. That first send, and it wasn't to us, but at least it was mail. Anything else? Settling in.
I thought of a whole day, like maybe out on the sea slopes, go in and get a hot
cup of coffee. Oh, yes. Yes, those are thank you, Jesus moments for sure. For sure. Whether it's because you're choosing to be cold and then get warm, or those times when you get cold. And then I went to a preaching conference last week, and
with my friend Jim Lapp, who's a pastor in Santa Cruz, and we met in Portland. And it was 22 degrees when I met him at the airport, and the snow was still a foot deep in Portland because they got a little more snow than we did. And he said, "Well, we got to go to Multnomah Falls to go see the falls because they were frozen, and that's not typical." And so we did. And when we got there, it was 22 degrees and 20 degree wind chill. It was very brutally cold. I mean, my fingers froze instantly. And to get back in that car, I mean, I know that. To get back in that car, oh, and I'm glad we had seat warmers because we have a newer car, you know, but get your buns warm. Oh, yeah, it's a good thing. I get that. So that's this image that I was struck with, was this settling in. And I think as the people of God, sometimes we might pass that by. And we might not take advantage of this part of, which I believe is a central part of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus, of this settling in. The stuff we have here, the meal that we share, this word that we hear, the songs that we sing, the soft or hard chairs that we sit in, when we come here, this is a kind of settling in as well. Centering on God. And settling in, I would say, on God's grace. God's love for us. And I think sometimes in our world we lose track of that. That God promises, I will be with you. Settle into that. I will always be with you. My son Jesus, he's going to be a light to the world. And you can follow him. And it's as simple as turning to Jesus when Jesus calls you. Follow me, Jesus says to those first disciples. And they do. Because they see something. They see light. And they see that grace and that love. And they watch Jesus heal and teach that the kingdom of heaven, God's extreme reality, is with you right here and right now. Settle into it. Settle in. And that's kind of the first part of our faith. And in some ways, it's passive because we receive it as a gift. But we choose it because we are creatures who choose things. We choose grace. A gift that comes to us. But how you receive it, you settle in. Maybe it's kind of like another image I think about is when you have that one shirt, like I have, that's that warm shirt that's just right when it's a little cool, and you put it on, and it's got that one button missing, and you just think, I should put that button on. But you don't, because you don't really need it, because all you need to do is put that shirt on, and it feels exactly like it's supposed to. That's what God's grace is for us, putting on that shirt, getting centered. Then the second part is what Jesus does next. You settle into grace so that you're free to move, free to follow. So again, following Jesus, it's really not complicated. You know, in the end of Matthew, you heard about prison congregations of America and living stones. That's an example of what it might mean to follow Jesus. It might mean for you, and it does mean for us as a congregation, we follow Jesus into prison, to living stones. March 4th, in fact, a little plug, March 4th is the perfect opportunity to follow me and some others, which is a Saturday, to go and worship at Living Stones. That's something that we'll be doing March 4th. Every congregation in the synod makes that connection and helps with that ministry by bringing an outside presence. So that will be our next opportunity, March 4th. So if that's something that you've thought about doing, and I've mentioned it before, March 4th, Saturday, is a good opportunity. And you'll see more about that in the bulletin. Jesus says, settle into my grace. And then follow me. You know what it means to settle. All of you have to settle in. All of you have shared some of those things. So that's the final question for you. I've suggested what we do as a church. But what is God calling you to do this day? First, settle in. Settle into grace. Know that you're a beloved child of God. Know that God is with you always. That you are a wonderfully built, vulnerable creature. And that Jesus says, come with me. Follow me. Let's share that grace with others. Let's help others to settle in. Let's do that again and again and again until we are truly the light of the world. Amen.